This pastor says, I've often thought that if I ever fall into a trespass, I will pray that I don't fall into the hands of those disapproving, supercritical judges in the church. Let me fall into the hands of barkeepers and drug addicts, because such church people will tear me apart.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn.
Good day, everyone, and thank you for tuning in. We continue Pastor Bill's series from the Epistle of Galatians today. Let's join Pastor now for today's message, Restore Such a One.
Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. We're going to be in verses 1 through 5 this morning, and as we approach the end of this, matter of fact, let me just read our text to you this morning. It says, brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. And bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For each one, loved one, shall bear his own load. Isn't God's word great? Amen. Listen, this morning, you know, we've arrived at the final chapter in this great epistle. You know, I love Paul. I love his teach. I love the word of God. But I tell you, every time that I get close to finishing a book, we may have one, maybe two sermons left, whatever the Lord wants. I feel like I'm leaving a friend. I always do. And I don't want to leave. I'm saying, Lord, if we just had two more chapters, do you understand? Paul's great defense of the doctrine of the justification by faith alone through grace. That's what this whole study has been, loved one. And you know, the churches of Galatia, I don't even need to tell you, you already know, but just to catch you back up one more time, they have been invaded, as you know, by the Judaizers, the false teachers. They came in with a different spirit, they came in with a different gospel, and they put the churches of Galatia under the law. In other words, if you are really saved, well, then it's going to have to be Jesus plus something else. We know that's not true. It's by faith alone, through grace alone, through Christ alone. Amen? But they were saying, no, you have to become a Jew or become circumcised and so forth if you're going to be really, really saved. So they put them under legalism. They put them under works instead of the grace of God. Oh, the unmerited, unearned, unconditional favor of the living God toward those saints of God. Now, with all that being said, Paul now closes out and he's saying to them, he's saying to us, he's saying, listen, if you really want to be under the law, if you're that bewitched, remember, who's bewitched you that you would turn away from the grace of God? He says, if you really want to be under the law, there's only one law that a believer can be under, and that is the law of Christ. Amen? And the law of Christ, of course, is love. This morning, as we look at these very, very important five verses about to restore such a one, okay? We're going to learn this morning in the Word of God here how to lovingly restore a believer when he has fallen, she has fallen into sin. So let's look this morning, restore such a one, beginning in chapter 6, verse 1. He says here, Paul writes, he says, brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Did you notice that tender word that Paul starts out with? He calls them brethren. He says, listen, all of you, all the churches of Galatia, then and the 21st century church, it means when he says brethren, we are now under an obligation. So he says, brethren, he says, if a man, now listen, that means not just a man or a Christian man, it means a Christian woman, it means old, young, no matter what the age may be. It says, brethren, if any man is overtaken, in a trespass or any trespass. Now listen very carefully. I want you to look at verse 1. It is loaded. It is pregnant. Who in verse 1 is in danger? Is it the person that has been overtaken in a sin, or is it those who are responsible to take care of him? Who is it? Who's in danger? Amen. Not the one that's overtaken in a sin. No, it's the one that is restoring. So that word overtaken in any trespass, the word overtaken literally means, it says here, for us, we have to be very careful. I'm sorry, I just missed my note. It says we have to be careful. Now, I don't know what Bible you may have, your study Bible or just your regular Bible, but if you have a centerline reference, or if you have at the bottom of the page, sometimes it tells you the meaning of different words in the scriptures, or where to go for another scripture that's along the same lines. But here, this word, a lot of the Bibles, if you look down again, it has the word, brethren, if a man is caught, not overtaken. I'm sure that your Bible has that. My Bible has that. And boy, does that change the meaning of our text? Boy, I mean, oh, you know, that word caught, we get confused. This is not, hey, I caught you, or you've been caught. We saw what you did, and man, you're in trouble. That's not what this means at all. It means, when it says, I caught you, in any trespass, it means the word trespass has nothing to do in this context with willful, deliberate sin. That's not what Paul is talking about at all. That word trespass means I slipped up. I didn't mean to slip up, but boy, did I slip up. It wasn't deliberate at all. It's used as the same word of Jesus when he was praying, and the word fell there, or to stumble, he slipped. Not that he slipped into sin. Of course not. He's a sinless Son of God. But it's the same word is used there. So this word, overtaken, okay, literally means to be caught by a particular sin. It means literally to be run down by sin or to be caught off guard. In other words, I'm at a party. I'm at a family party. I don't partake of the family's party. They normally have some drinks and so forth. I don't mess with that stuff. But you know what? I did. And whenever that happens, it can affect you. You know what I'm saying? So you get in your car and you leave and you get pulled over by the police and you have a DWI. Are you following me? Did that person intend to do that? No. I mean, it was like, I did it. And he goes, I thought I was stronger than that. I thought I could just have one thing for a New Year's celebration with all my family, at the family reunion. I'm just using that as an example. He says, but you know, I thought I was stronger, but I wasn't. I should have never, never done that. You know what that individual did? He, for a moment, did not give the Holy Spirit his rightful place. Amen? The slave in him got a little relaxed, and all of a sudden he found himself in trouble. But what happens to a believer, sister, brother, when that occurs in their life? They get in trouble, don't they? I mean, they're hurting. Listen, they're broken, they're crippled. Why did I do this? I'm in trouble. It's not what I normally, this is not my lifestyle. And so we look and say, what do we do now? Look at the scripture. It says, you who are spiritual, restore such a one. Now listen, you who are spiritual, let me tell you first of all what that doesn't mean. It doesn't mean that, you graduated from a Bible college or seminary and you have your master's of theology or your doctorate or whatnot, and you're able to handle it. That's not what this verse is saying at all. It's not saying, I've been a Christian for 30 years. I'm very spiritual. No, that's not what this scripture is saying. It's not talking about those that are in the upper room, you know, the Handalabaka people, whatever. You know what I'm talking about. Nothing wrong with those gifts either. I'll never make fun of the gifts. But I'm just saying, you think, well, I've been flowing in the gifts. That doesn't make you a spiritual person. Okay, so who are those, when he says you who are spiritual, he's talking about a believer who loves the Lord Jesus Christ, who is walking in the Spirit, who is living in the Spirit, who is manifesting the fruit of the Spirit. Amen? That's what this word means right here. He's not talking about a carnal Christian that comes to church maybe every 3-4 weeks. He's not talking about those that are out of fellowship. He's not talking about that at all. He's talking about those who are spiritual. They're walking with the Holy Spirit of God. That is so vital, loved one, if you're going to ever restore anyone. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2:15, but he who is spiritual judges all things. He who is spiritual, meaning you're following the Spirit, you're walking with the Spirit in this life. Judges means you evaluate all things. You're able to help restore someone who has fallen into sin. You know what I love about God's Word and His peace and His love and His wisdom and His grace? God right here said, listen to me, that person is in trouble. They feel so beaten down and so ashamed. Now let me back up. Not every believer that falls into a temptation or a sin wants to be restored. Amen? I'm not talking about those kind. I'm talking about those that's, please, can you help me? I blew it. I don't know why I blew it, but I just did, and I need help. So God says in His incredible wisdom and grace, whatever you do with this wounded guy, this wounded sister, never, never allow a self-righteous, legalistic, fruitless, loveless believer to restore that person. You hear me? Very, very important. Why? Because they won't. Legalism is a horrible, horrible thing. Loved one, listen, a loveless legalist, they won't restore that person. Oh, they want to hear the news or what'd you do? But they're not going to restore. You know what they're going to do with a person? They're going to increase their shame. They're going to increase their guilt. They're going to increase that sense in their heart of unworthiness. What a horrible thing. Man, they join in with the accuser of the brethren, the devil. And what did they do? They usually condemn. That's what legalism does. It condemns that person, beats that person to death. In other words, oh, yeah, I see. You just went through a divorce. Oh, wow. That really changes things in your life and guess in the church too, doesn't it? You understand? Oh, what? I'm so sorry. Yeah, I heard about that. You've fallen again back into those drugs, huh? Oh, boy. Well, I'm so sorry. Yeah, let me tell you something. A person who is spiritual, they don't destroy a sister or brother. They restore a sister or brother. They don't beat them to death. Are you listening to me? Jesus loves everyone, and He wants people restored, or this would not be in our text this morning. Remember Jesus and the legalists, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and all the rest of them? They came and they brought the woman caught in adultery. Remember the very act to Jesus in John chapter 8? And remember, they said, oh, Lord, here we are, and they threw the woman right in the front of Jesus. There she is, you know, and there's Jesus, and there she is, not even looking up, and she's in the midst of them, and here she's surrounded with the most educated, religiously educated people in all of Israel, the legalists, the ones who are above the law, really. And it says, you know, Lord, listen, we caught this woman, nameless woman, they didn't even give her a name, in the very act of adultery. What do you say? What does the law say? Well, you know, the law says to stone her, right? The question is like I always say when I come to John 8, where's the old boy at? You know what I'm saying? How did he get away? No. And there they are, and of course, you know what the Lord does? He kneels and says, you who are without a sin, you know, you cast the first stone. Nobody casts a stone. He starts writing with his finger in the sand. You know the whole story. Everybody knows that story. And they left from the oldest to the youngest, remember? And then Jesus said, it says in John 8:10, and when Jesus had raised himself up from writing with his finger, okay, and he saw no one but the woman. And Jesus said to her, woman, where are those accusers of yours? I encourage you to do a Bible study when he called her woman. That was so tender and so loving. It's the same word in the Greek that he used from the cross. He called out to John, said, John, behold thy mother. Woman, behold thy son. Very tender, very loving, very full of compassion. He says, woman, where are thy accusers? And Jesus says, has no one condemned you? And listen to her only recorded words. She said, no one, Lord. And Jesus said to her, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Man, that's what you call a fresh start. That's what you call a brand new beginning. The religious rulers, they left, amen? From oldest to the youngest. Why? They were guilty. Yeah, they were totally guilty, man. Listen, they wanted her dead. They wanted her stoned. And they did all of this just to test Jesus, remember? See, religion, legalism is callous. Legalism can destroy, but it can never, ever give a person alive. So here the legalist, this nameless woman, you know, and didn't care what her feelings were. They didn't try to minister to her. They didn't try to take care of her. She was just a thing. Now listen carefully. Whenever a believer or anyone in the church becomes just a thing, oh, they're a fornicator. Oh, they committed adultery. Oh man, they're back, they're on the drugs, you know, whatever. Whenever the hurting, whenever the wounded, whenever even the lost, the sinner, becomes a thing, Christianity is dead. See, Christianity imparts life, not death. Amen? And that's what we need to remember. You know, a pastor commented not too long ago about legalism in the church and when people have fallen. Listen to what he says. He says, this pastor says, I've often thought that if I ever fall into a trespass, I will pray that I don't fall into the hands of those disapproving, supercritical judges in the church. Let me fall into the hands of barkeepers and streetwalkers and drug addicts, because such church people will tear me apart with their long, wagging, gossiping tongues, and they will cut me to shreds. Is that heartbreaking? That's from a pastor, loved one. Matter of fact, last year, and I know who this person is, a great senior pastor, a loving senior pastor, teaches God's word, loves his family. And his teenage daughter was in the youth, and she is now pregnant. And you can imagine how that goes through the church, amen? And so the pastor does what he should do. He embraces his daughter. And she just said, Daddy, I don't know who the dad is. I don't know. And he looks at her and he says, I'm going to help you. I love you. God loves you. We're going to raise this baby and we're going to get you through school. It's all going to be okay. And so as he was doing those things and embracing her and restoring her, guess what his church did to him? They fired him. You know, the Bible says in 1 Peter 4:8, it says, above all things, have fervent love one for another, for legalism covers a multitude of sins. No, love covers a multitude of sins. Look at this now. Look at the verse again. You who are spiritual, it says, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourselves lest you be tempted. So you who are spiritual, restore such a one. You know the word restore, we've talked about that for many years here. It means to mend. It means to repair. It means to bring something back to its former condition. It's used in Matthew chapter 4, verse 21, when the disciples, they were mending their nets. And it's also a verb here in our text, which means that it's just not, okay, to restore someone is not a one-time conversation. Does that make sense? It's an ongoing, it requires action. It is a process. So restore means to pick a person up, a believer up, not put them back down. That's where the devil wants them. Amen? Yes. So the word restore is also a medical word, a hospital term. It means to set a broken bone or put a dislocated shoulder, for example, back in place. Now, I don't know about you. I don't want to have to go to the hospital, but if I do, I go there to get well. Don't you? Absolutely, not the opposite. So when a person needs to be restored, loved one, they need to be mended. They need to be put back together. They need to be loved and so forth. Restoration is not trampling a person into the dirt and making them feel so bad and unworthy. They're already repented of their sin. Do you understand? They were caught in a sin. They weren't out just deliberately doing anything. They messed up. Now, so restore such a one also means this, that God has given those who are spiritual, who walk in the Spirit, who live in the Spirit, who manifest the fruits of the Spirit, they have given him, her, the wonderful privilege of restoring those that are broken. In other words, their broken lives are now being put together, back together, by you. I've often heard and said myself that Calvary Chapel has always been, from its very beginning, a supernatural hospital. People come here from other places, they're wounded, they're beat down, whatever it might be, whatever they've gone through, but they get well, they get restored, amen? And that's what we do here. We're like the Good Samaritan. You know, we find someone that's injured, and we pour the oil in, we pour the wine in, and then if we have to, we even pick them up and help them get to a place where they'll be okay. That's exactly what we always do. But you know what? A legalist is not a doctor. A legalist is a butcher, and I mean that with all my heart. I don't have much respect for legalism or legalist. They are always destroying. You've heard me say it, I have never heard or met a happy legalist. Never. I don't think they know how to smile. Do you understand? No. Listen, they're a butcher. Why? Because they treat those that have fallen and want restoration worse than the lost. Warren Wiersbe said this, Warren, who just went home to be with the Lord not too long ago, he says, nothing reveals the wickedness of legalism better than the way the legalist treats those who have sinned. So how do we restore such a one that has fallen, overtaken, if you will, in any trespass? Not deliberately. They get into it. They don't know how they got there. They just got into it. Well, the Bible tells us there, it says, if you who are spiritual restore such a one, here it is, in the spirit of gentleness. The spirit of gentleness. Is that one of the fruit of the Spirit? Yes, in chapter 5, verse what, 22, 23, right in that area? Yeah, it means a gentle wind, a soothing wind. It's comforting. In other words, to restore requires being sensitive to that person's very need. Listen, you know, when you get in trouble, when you sin, I hope that you don't, but we do sin at times. That's why we can run to the throne of grace. Amen? When you go to the throne of grace and you say, oh, Father, you know that I have sinned. I confess my sin. And now you know He's faithful and just to forgive you of your sin and cleanse you by the blood of Jesus from all unrighteousness. When you get to the throne of grace, does the Lord grab you and slap you around and say, what's wrong with you? Get on your knees. Look what you've done. You're an embarrassment. You're pathetic. You find that at the throne of grace? No. Then why would we find it in the church? I'm not talking about people who want to live any way they want to call themselves Christians and don't care about restoration. I'm talking about a brother, a sister. You know how many people have come to my office weeping? Weeping. I didn't mean to do, I got in trouble. My family's going to be ashamed of me. And when they leave that office, I make sure that they know this. Number one, Jesus has forgiven them. They are not a second-class Christian, and God will help them, and God will restore them, and I'll even go with you to your family. We don't beat people up. The church doesn't beat their wounded. Amen? We restore them. That's what it is all about. So he says, restore such a one and do so in the spirit of gentleness. Man, listen, when I go to my doctor, I want him to be gentle with me, don't you? Now, do you know these, like, and don't get upset. Older nurses, no problem. I love every nurse. I don't care how old they are. But some of these, I'm probably not at your place, but where I go, I know, I've been there forever. I go, don't, you're going to jab me with that needle. I know what you're getting ready to do. I said, I'm old now. Don't hit me where it's sweat, where I can't use it for 3 days. You know what I mean? Or your doctor, you know, you're on the bench and you're laying down and he's tapping on your stomach and pushing and all that. That bothers me. You know, be gentle. Treat me. No, never mind. All right. It says, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. Now look at the next part. Considering whom? Yourself. Why? Well, lest you be tempted. In other words, it says, you better watch out for yourself. You better really take care. You know what? If you're going to restore somebody, you better restore them with full awareness of your own weakness. Amen? But we're all saved by grace. Listen, this warning and why this warning is so important, it is not written to the carnal Christian. It is not written to those that are out of fellowship with the Lord. It's not written to those that come to church every 6 months. And I'm not beating anybody up, but you should be in church every Sunday. Listen, this is written to those who are walking in the Spirit, those who are manifesting the fruits of the Spirit. He says, even though you're doing all of that thing and you're following the Lord, you love the Lord and all of those things, you better beware. See, we've been freed from sin, but not free from the temptation of sin. Amen?
Well, we're out of time for today, but Pastor Bill will conclude this message on tomorrow's program, and we look forward to seeing you once again. We appreciate you listening with us today, and until next time, may the Lord bless you. Good day, everyone. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast,
please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.